It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Kreshap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaff.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Nick Taylor wins the Sony Open in Hawaii at Wailea Country Club in a playoff over Nico Echevarria. Nick Taylor chipped in for eagle on the 18th hole to vault 2 strokes up the leaderboard and tie Echevarria. Then Nick Taylor won the second playoff hole with a birdie while Echevarria 3-putted from 37 feet out. Nick Taylor wins his 5th PGA Tour title. He's won in 3 consecutive seasons, all in playoffs. He won the 2023 RBC Canadian Open in a playoff over Tommy Fleetwood and last year's Waste Management Phoenix Open over Charlie Hoffman. J.J. Spaun and Steven Yeager finished tied for 3rd at minus 15. The PGA Tour returns to the mainland this week to La Quinta, California for the American Express Championship. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, I travel to Nashville, Tennessee to sit down with singer and songwriter Barrett Baber. Barrett has a great singing voice and a knack for writing the right song at the right time. In fact, some of his inspirations for songs come from the golf course. You'll hear more about that coming up. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, one of our great sponsors of From the Shortgrass. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you find one of their hotels. Log on, bphotels.com. I'm back with Barrett Baber after this. Stay with us. UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassiz 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. At UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, they are dedicated to keeping you in the game. From sports injuries to joint replacement, they provide world-class care right here in Arkansas. Call 501-686-8674 to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. Without further ado, we're going to head right to the interview. On the tee, Barrett Baber.
Barrett, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. Born in Marion, Arkansas, but when did you first pick up a golf club? Do you remember?
Yeah, I guess I kind of late to the party, I guess, in some degree. I started playing in high school, really. I just really remember playing golf in high school. They opened a golf course in my hometown my sophomore year. called the Marion Golf and Athletic Club. Now, it's still there, and it's called something else now, but it was an old Lindsay
property.
Yeah, a Lindsay property. And my dad immediately joined. And so he, I think he was member number 31 or something like that. So
okay.
I started playing out there. I worked out there in the grill, worked at the pool some, picked up range balls. So I spent some time out there and started playing some out there, and then some through college, but then, you know, started having babies and stuff, and started working and didn't play as much.
Kind of hurts the golf game. What was it about golf? Because you played other sports growing up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was on the high school football team and on the tennis team and some of those things. But I think it was just easy access, you know. It was something I could do with my father. He was into it. You know, I find that when living here in Nashville, I'm talking to a lot of other songwriters and stuff, and a lot of them hunt, mm-hmm. and I don't. And it's not because I don't want to. It's just because that's not what my dad did. You know, so a lot of times it happens when whatever your pops is into is what you get into. And so, yeah, my dad was an avid golfer there in Marion. And so that's really what drove me to the game.
Did he ever take you down to a course in West Memphis, Meadowbrook?
Absolutely. I played that course
Country
a bunch
Club.
Of times. Yeah, yeah.
Those greens have to be some of the toughest in the state of Arkansas.
Man, it's been a very long time since I've been out there.
Yeah.
And
so fast.
Yeah. Most of the time we'd have to sneak on there or somebody, we'd have to know somebody to get on
right.
there. Yeah. But most of the time we were at the Marion Golf and Athletic Club. I do have some memories of when I was really young, being riding in a golf cart with my dad at Lake DeGray State Park.
Okay.
Yeah. My dad was teaching New Testament at Wichita Baptist. And so I remember being riding next to him on that elevated tee box on number one that goes down that steep hill and then mm-hmm. playing that course. And I played that some when I was in college down there too. And one of the other places I always played was, it's probably not there anymore, it's on Highway 7. It's called the Caddo Creek Country Club.
I bet it's not there,
bro,
but I know
was,
exactly
I was like,
where
like
you're talking
$18
about.
With the cart to play to play 18 holes, and it was the definition of a goat ranch. But that ain't why we were out there, dude. You can imagine why we were out there. We were drinking cold beer out there. That's why we were out there.
Oh yeah, there you go. You talk fondly about your father, the fact that missionary and basically all over the world.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you spent some time growing up in South Africa,
yeah.
and you talk about golfers from South Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Gary Player, you look at Ernie Els, you look at Retief Goosen.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, it's a big deal over there, and it's a big social deal over there. And one of the I remember playing some on little par three courses and being at the driving range some. And one memory I have of playing golf in Africa, in South Africa, Durban, South Africa, was going to the driving range with my dad, and they didn't have a picker machine. They have people out there picking the balls up.
Really?
While you're hitting with hard hats on. These African ladies out there with hard hats on.
That's the only protection
bucket.
They had?
That's it, dude. I mean, that's the difference. You know, this is probably 1989, 1990. But I remember that being a thing where it's just like, and I remember my dad kind of marveling at that and going like, this is different, because it's like literally African women out there in a hard hat with a bucket. That's how they pick the balls up.
Barrett, I can think back when I was a kid and then high school and stuff, when I'd go to the range, I'd try and hit the range picker. You know, I know they're inside in a cage or
right.
something, but I might take like a 4 or 5 iron, hood that thing down and try and hit a little stinger at
it,
or maybe a lob wedge and just see if I can hit it.
And I could tell you, man, at South Africa at that time, you know, it's a different place now, but at that time, you know, there may have been some white dudes trying to do that, because it's a very racist culture over there at that time.
Oh,
but, you
gosh.
Know, it was an interesting place for me to grow up, because it expanded my worldview at an early age. You know, I had friends in high school that had never left Arkansas, and like I'd lived overseas and been on long plane rides and seen a lot of crazy things, you know, of how really the unfortunate in our world have to live or forced to live. So that was, man, that was a real gift for my parents. And I definitely remember, you know, some golf stuff over there. My dad was playing over there because it was really inexpensive to play. Matter of fact, I went back to South Africa this summer with my dad and my mom and my brother, and man, we went to play golf, and after I did the math in my head, we played a world-class course that I can't think of the name of, but I think it was like $40 or something.
That's
like that.
It?
Yeah, with a 4-caddy.
Wow.
Right? And like we tipped, my dad tipped the 4-caddy, what equated to like $30, and he almost fell over, dude. He was like shook by how much money it was. So it's like, wow. It's inexpensive, more inexpensive to play golf in South Africa. And it's probably just because there's cheap labor and that kind of thing. But
right.
You know, it was a great experience. I got to play, you know, play a round of golf right there by the Indian Ocean. It was
Isn't
awesome.
That something?
I shot, I didn't shoot too well that day, but it wasn't about it wasn't about the score that day.
I want to go back real quick, and I know this is a golf podcast, but you talked about the long plane rides you have taken and stuff. You're very fortunate to be on this earth right now.
No
because
kidding.
You were in a plane crash.
Yeah.
Flight
yeah.
1420 landed at Little Rock National Airport, crashed, and I remember it vividly because I was working for Channel 4 at the time, and I was one of the first ones out there to cover that event.
Yeah, man. What a crazy thing to even consider how long ago it was. I mean, in 1999.
Yeah.
I was 19 years old when that happened to me, and so it kind of feels like another life in which it happened. I mean, if I was talking to Acree about this other day, he was like, "Dude, you've lived one, bro." He's like, "It's been a crazy yeah. ride, just the journey that it's taken." But that's part of my journey, and yeah, man, just really fortunate to come out of that really with nothing wrong with me in terms of physically and also mentally. I mean, there's a lot of people that really struggle still. I know with PTSD, and I was fortunate. I think that happened to me at a time in my life where I was too stupid to know that it
right.
should be that it should mess up my psyche.
Okay.
I was so young. I was like, okay, next thing. Like, I just, yeah. like the next week, I was working.
It's like riding a roller coaster.
Right? Well, I got back on an airplane like 3 days afterwards. My dad, somebody at the church, told Dad, like, "Hey, man, if you want that boy to ever fly again, you better put him on an airplane, like ASAP."
Yeah,
and so we went to Memphis and hopped on a flight and flew down to Dallas to see my girlfriend for like a few hours and flew back, and it's never been an issue for me since. So thank goodness, because I wouldn't be able to go on trips like that with my dad and go see Africa again and play rounds of golf.
It'd be tough, yeah. And you might not have, when getting on The Voice and having to go to L.A.
Yeah.
and everything. I mean, those were plane rides back and forth.
Totally, but and not to mention the role that story, you know, really played, I think, in my success and. I'm not ignorant to that. You know, they came to me and asked me if that's something that was okay for them to feature. And I struggled with it. I was like, I don't know, you know, I don't want to benefit from this tragedy in any weird way. And I don't want people to feel like I'm using it because it did happen a very long time ago. And for the most part, hasn't really negatively affected my life, but it's part of my story. And I called Dr. Fuller, my choir director that was on the plane with me, and talked to him about it. And I just remember him saying, "Man, it's your story to tell. And there's nobody better to tell it than you."
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, "Sure, let's do it." But I The Voice did a good job at sort of telling people that's part of my story, but then really quickly moving on to other stuff, like me being a dad and me being a teacher and me being kind of a different artist that's a little bit older, that's starting his musical journey at a little bit later of a date.
Music's been a part of your life, though, forever,
yeah,
as long as you
jump.
Can remember.
I mean, really, beyond golf, I mean, I remember singing more than anything, and that's what my brothers and I did. We would go to these Indian churches, you know, Asian Indian churches that my dad would preach at, and one of the features of the service would be when the two little white boys got up there and sang the Beach Boys or sang Kokomo or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we sang a lot of church songs, and then obviously moving back to Eastern Arkansas and being in church every time the doors were open. I mean, I was constantly involved in music, and subsequently got into choir and got fortunate enough to get a scholarship to Wichita Baptist to go study music down there. And so it's always been a part of it. And really, Wichita is where I picked up the guitar. My brother taught me four chords, and I started writing songs within a week. And you know this, dude. I mean, even when I was working at the Buzz, like, I was always gigging.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was making, you know, there was years I made an extra $30,000, $200 at a time.
Yeah.
You know, just,
yeah.
And so it was always kind of a thing, this thing that I did, playing cover shows and then just writing on the side. And then even up until doing The Voice, I mean, before I did The Voice, I'd probably had 1,500 3-hour shows under my belt. And
wow.
So walking onto a stage in L.A., with great sound and a great band to sing one song wasn't as scary as walking into the VFW in Caddo Valley to play for 3 hours. You know? So it wasn't that big a deal for me.
Yeah.
It was like another day at the office.
Right.
In fact, a good day at the office, because most of the time nobody was listening, but there I was on that big stage.
So what would have been tougher, the big stage out there in L.A. or trying to drain a 5-foot double breaker downhill putt?
I can tell you right now, I'm less comfortable with the putt than I am with the singing.
Right.
Yeah, you can put me on a stage right now. I look pretty comfortable and am at this point, just after doing it weekly and day in and day out, and living here in Nashville, performing all the time. And yeah, but man, I'm just, you know, I do. When there's a little bit of money on the line, too, boy, he tense up, man. He starts puckering.
Especially when it's with one of your buddies that you're betting.
More than that, my brother.
Okay.
So, like, the reason I'm back into golf and I've been able to, you know, get my handicap down to that 12, 13, depending on the day, 14 area, is because I went to the Masters 2 years ago.
Oh, boy.
My older brother, I got two brothers. My older brother is the successful one. That's what we say. He's the vastly successful one. I'm the dreamer. And then I got a little brother who's the knucklehead. And so so me and my little knucklehead brother, we started talking trash to each other. And I immediately, like, man, I'm about to get you. Tuesday, we were at the practice round. Wednesday, we played golf at some course in South Carolina.
Okay.
And then on Thursday, went to the first round. And so on this day we played golf, I started running my mouth to him right away. And I just kept thinking, man, I'm his big brother. I'm going to get in his head. And so he's like, all right, let's put some money on it. So we put some money. We started betting. I start losing.
Uh-oh. You got nervous.
So I wasn't nervous because I know, my dad says, that sometimes you got to bet your way out of a mess. And so okay. I started pressing.
Oh, boy.
Right away. Yeah. Hole number two, yeah. I'm slapping a press on it. So then we get through, and I kept pressing, double pressing. Next thing you know, and man, he took like $250 off of me. And then I find out after the round, he'd been taking lessons.
Oh, no.
He'd been taking lessons up there at Paradise Valley there in Fayetteville. Great course that I played many times. My dad and brother remembers there.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, he'd been taking lessons out there, didn't tell me. He took money off of me. So I got home, and I looked at my wife and said, this will never happen again.
So did you go sign up for lessons?
No, I just went straight to the range and started swinging. and we've played a couple times since then. I beat him once. He beat me once. So it's really fun, man, especially when you got a little bit of money on it. And, you know, obviously nobody should gamble more than they can afford to lose, and I didn't that day. But, man, it hurt my pride when my little brother took $250 off of me.
Have you ever had a lesson in golf?
Never. Not ever. And I'm at a point now where I'm playing. It's so fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm always sniffing 80, you know, 80, 83. You know, I hadn't broken 80 yet, but I'm always, like, sniffing it. And so I'm at a point now where I kind of got my thing figured out, and I'm nervous to go change it all up. And also the other thing, and I know this, for sure, I'm playing on some hand-me-down clubs that aren't fitted to me.
You need your own clubs.
Totally. I spent a little bit of money on a driver. I got the Ping last year and spent a little bit of money on that. And I've noticed, you know, I'm getting an extra 15 or 20 yards out of my drive, which is big deal for me because I'm short off the tee, which doesn't make any sense.
I was going to say, you're what, 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah, I'm 6'5".
6'5"?
6'5", 235 right now.
Come on,
so
Barrett.
So I'll be able to hit it a country mile.
Yeah.
But I don't. And so I'm just kind of in that spot where I'm like, man, it's fun. Do I want to go I will. I mean, that's the next step for me is get a new set of irons and just like
get fitted.
Lock in. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like, I've been fitted. We just working on, you know, it takes a lot of streams to buy a set of irons.
Well, that's true. That's true. Maybe a couple gigs at the country club.
That's not a bad idea. Do some trade.
Yeah.
Do some trade with them.
There you go. What places around Nashville do you get to play? Because there are a lot of great courses.
Man, I got some great recommendations for you, dude. I love to play this place called the Hermitage.
Mm-hmm.
There's two courses out there, President's Reserve and the General's Retreat. And it's relatively fair. You know, it's $100 round of golf. I'm, you know, pushing 100 on the weekdays and then 125 on the weekends.
Not too bad.
Not too terrible, but it's a high-level course. Really, they have some LPGA events out there and stuff.
Good.
And then so I try to get out there often, and then I play. There's a place right outside on the towards Arkansas in a little town called Dixon, Tennessee. Oh, what is that place called? I'll think of it in a minute. But there's a place out there where they do the Tennessee Amateur every year. It's really affordable. It's like $50. It's 45 minutes from my house, so it's a little bit of a drive. So I get out there as often as possible. And then I will say this. On my way to work from Franklin, where I live, and I work on Music Row, there's three municipal courses that I drive past. And one of them is McCabe, mm-hmm. right here in the middle of town, and that's about 15 minutes from my office. And the big thing to do out at McCabe is walk. Almost everybody walks. Almost no one rents a cart. Yeah, and so you can rent a cart. So I guess about a year ago, I bought one of those push carts, and I'll, you know, we start writing at about 11 o'clock. So sometimes I'll try to get there by 8 and at least walk 9. And, you know, you can get 10,000 steps pretty easy when you're stepping.
Yeah.
You know, and so I get out there, and I've met some cool people out there, too. I love that part of it. That really helps me with songwriting in terms of, you know, the way that I come up with ideas for songs is I just listen. I just listen to people, and try to figure out, like, listen, do they say something that sounds like a song? And people speak in song all the time. They just don't know it. Mm-hmm. And so I'll ask people questions. What do you do for a living? Where are you from? Almost no one that lives in Nashville is from Nashville. So anybody I meet, where are you from? Are you from South Carolina? What do you do? All right. And then tell me about that. And all of a sudden, you know, by a whole six or seven, they've asked me what I do. And I'm just listening. And anytime somebody says something that sounds country, man, or sounds like a song, I'll just put it in my phone. And then, you know, I can come up with four or five good song ideas in a round of golf pretty easy.
Have you ever thought of a song that would relate to your golf game? How that song would go? What would be in the lyrics? It would
be a lot. There's heartbreak. taking the long way.
Yeah.
I've been known to take the long way.
Couple lip outs.
Getting in the ditch, you know, whatever, yeah. hitting the hazard. You know, one thing I say this a lot. Golf is a lot like writing songs for a living. You know, and one reason I love golf is and love songwriting is because you can always write another one. You know, and the cool thing about golf is, and really I think the trick is figuring out how to put a bad hole behind you mm-hmm. and cleaning the slate, and you got a blank canvas on the next hole. And so, you know, I think last year I wrote 145 songs. And I'm going to tell you right now, ain't 145 of the 145, maybe 35, 40 of them, maybe I'm like kind of think are good. Maybe 10 of those I'm really proud of, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, we don't write a good song every day. We don't finish a song every day. But also, I've walked out of sessions and thought, man, I'm the worst songwriter that's ever walked the face of the earth. I'm a platinum songwriter, dude. Like, yeah. Obviously, I'm not. But, like, I've walked out of sessions. But the cool part about how it relates to golf is that, you know, I've had plenty of triple bogeys. But the best part is there's another hole coming, man.
That's right.
Let me go get a birdie on this one, you know? And so it's like, well, you can't get that birdie if you don't go to the next hole. And so I just let it go and go to the next hole.
And Barrett, sometimes it's the birdie or par on the last hole that energizes
you, all you need.
And wants to bring you back for the next round.
It's such a trope, and everybody says it all the time, you know, like, dude, you just need one good shot, you know, one good shot around, keep you coming back. But it really is true. And it's the same way with writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's moments where you just like, this is what I was born to do, man. It's like, I can't miss. I'm hitting every fairway, dude. I'm sinking 30 footers, man. And that's exactly how it feels to write a great song. It's just like, I don't know how I'm doing this, but I'm doing it. And that's the same way with golf for me. It's like when I'm having a great round, it's like, I don't ask questions. I just thank the Lord and keep on swinging.
Being in Nashville, Music City, there are some artists that love to play the game of golf. I can think of Vince Gill, Darius Rucker are two of the top that
for
come
sure.
off of the top of my head.
Dude, Jake Owen, George Burge, Matt Stell, I mean,
yeah,
Hardy, Ernest, I mean, all of them.
I think Jelly Roll even likes to play
for sure.
Too.
And, dude, I'll tell you, it's one of the reasons I decided to get back into the game. To prove something to my brother that I'm better than him for sure is the first reason. But the second reason, I mean, I follow everybody, all those guys on Instagram, and they're constantly posting pictures of themselves out there having a good time swinging, playing golf. And so my thought is, man, I just need to get good enough where, like, when somebody's like, hey, man, we got an opening. Who do you know in the business that's decent at golf? And it's like, oh, Baber plays. He's a good hang. And so that really is kind of – it's a relationship game in this town mm-hmm. more than anything in terms of, like, who you know and the artists that you know and who you can get songs to and who you write songs with. And I can tell you, man, if I spent 4 hours, 5 hours playing around a golf with somebody – we can go write a good song because
yeah.
I know that dude now.
Yeah.
It's like we're friends now. If we play around the golf together, we're friends. Just like if we ever write a song together, we're going to be friends afterwards.
Is there also a time, Barrett, when you're on the golf course and you just need to get away from everything and that can be a retreat to get away from
totally,
it?
Man. And it's such a grounding sport. You know, that's one reason why I really enjoy walking at those city courses is because the pace is a little slower. You know, there's this a lonesome moment where you're walking to your ball and the group kind of splits up. Everybody walks their ball and there's about 30 seconds where I just get to think, all right, I'm probably going to be about 110 out. It's probably going to be, you know, a little nice, like easy pitching wedge in there, you know, mm-hmm. like looking at my app, where is the green slope, that kind of thing. And so it is nice to get away and it helps me collect my thoughts. And, you know, I've never had a bad day playing golf, man. And I've played a bunch of bad rounds of golf, but I've never had a bad day. And so I think that really is helpful, especially, you know, getting up into the middle years. I'm 44, you know, it's like I'm, you know, time is starting to really come into perspective for me as my kids are growing up and as I'm getting older and in this business. And so it's good to get out there. I think it's really healthy. It's just a good thing for you, you know, and it doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, it costs $18 to walk 9 holes at McCabe Golf Course.
Pretty cheap.
We can pull that off. We can make that happen. Yeah. It costs $6 for a large bucket. You know, like I go hit balls all the time. I spend more time on the range probably than I do playing. And that's just being alone. Just I'll have a podcast in or I just won't have anything. I'll just be thinking. And really, when you're a songwriter, that's what you need more than anything is just moments where you can consider what could be a song.
Best golf course you've ever played?
Best golf course I've ever played. We played my dad and I took a trip to see, this a long time ago, took a trip to see the Arkansas Razorbacks lose in 6 overtimes in Knoxville.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And
Jason Witten.
Yeah, he balled, dude. He just decided, no, we're going to win. Dude, we were in the stands, me and dad. But the day before, we went and played golf at this little place called River Island, right outside on the west side of Knoxville. And I'm not even sure if it's still there, but I just remember it was the first time my dad paid for it. Obviously, I think I was still in college, but it was like $110. And I was flabbergasted. I was like shook. Oh, how much? Yeah. It was like 2001.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, dude, it was. And I just remember it being the first time I'd ever played like an extremely well manicured, managed course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of my favorite places to play, obviously not the nicest, but certainly very nice, is I really love playing. I don't know, do they still play golf down there by the office, dude? Down at is it Repsman?
Yeah,
one of my favorite places, man. I just love playing those city courses, mm-hmm. dude. And then over in Memphis, I did some. Never played any nice courses in Memphis, but man, me and my buddies would go play Overton Park in Midtown. I don't even know if it's still open, but there's some cool ones over there. But probably the nicest one might have been that River Islands course, and then the Hermitage is really special here too.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and 3 other golfers that you would like to play around a golf.
Got to be pros or just anybody that plays golf. This is a great question.
They might not even play golf, and you might introduce
somebody
them to
I want to spend 5 hours with, basically. Yeah.
Four and a half, five hours. If you're playing 18.
Yeah, okay. So let me think as former Razorbacks. I'd like to get out there and play around a golf Matt Jones.
He can play.
I know. Man, you got to figure.
Yeah.
Dude like that can do it all. I bet he's good at tennis, too. I bet he's good at ping pong.
I bet pickleball.
I bet that dude's a champion. I'd like to play around with him just because it'd be fun just to say that I did and just getting to watch that dude play football. I just have so many. I'm connected to all those old Razorbacks, not because I know a lot of them, but mostly because anytime I think of Matt Jones, I can't help but think about my dad
mm-hmm.
and think about my brothers
mm-hmm.
and think about watching that dude run away from people on a football field and just going crazy, being at the Miracle on Markham, those things. And I'd love to hear those stories too. So, yeah, Matt Jones would be cool to play one with. I would like to spend some time with Coach Nutt. I'd like to play around a golf Coach Nutt. Hey, for the reasons I just said, because all the memories I have just watching those teams play.
Mm-hmm.
But also, man, you know you get done playing around the golf with that dude and you're ready to go run through a wall. You know he's going to have you hype. When you walk out of that, it's like, no matter how you play, man, I'm about to go attack life.
Yeah.
I'm about to go attack life. And then just for catching up sake, I'd like to play a round of golf with Pat Bradley sometime soon.
OPB.
Man, dude, I had some of the best times with that guy, man. And I was telling Acre this, too. I was like, dude, you want to talk about an easy sell? Walk into any bar in Little Rock and be like, hey, man, y'all want Pat Bradley to come hang out here for a while? It's a 1,500, man. Just write me a check right now. We'll get it done. But also, every time I see him on TV, I tell my son, I say, man, I know that guy, man. He's like, oh, you know him? I'm like, yeah. And I'll say, you know, he could really shoot the ball. And my son's playing basketball now. He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, man, he held the record for a while, and then we'll pull up YouTube and start watching him stroking.
It's
just so fun.
Shot after
but
shot.
Honestly, because I know how hard I would laugh that entire time, dude.
That would be something.
That may not be the coolest threesome, but man, I mean, yeah, Matt Jones just because, Coach Nutt just because, and PB because I miss that dude.
Barrett, thanks so much, man. That's
my
awesome.
My pleasure, brother. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity, to anticipate rather than react, to deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world, and to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, on the web at bphotels.com.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674. That's all the time for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. As always, thanks for listening. And remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.